Welcome to Last Week in Gaming, where we talk about games we ran or played last week. I'm your host, Matt J. Let's get started. Last Week in Gaming and the Diceology podcast are supported by listeners like you. Your support is what makes my show and the Dream Hustle happen. It helps provide the independence for the work, the shows, games, and the conversations I have. And I appreciate that. Consider supporting me on Patreon at MattJZero, all letters. Let's make this our regular thing. A big welcome to Kyle J. Davis for joining the Dream Hustle. So last week, or the last 2 weeks, I took a week off. Back to school stuff, last minute vacation stuff with the family. But anyway, in the last 2 weeks, I've got a lot. So strap yourself in. I'm going to start with my new hotness, Pirates of Drenax. On its own is beautifully done as a sandbox. I would run that with Old School Traveler. Cortex adds a different dimension of play to it for the system matter folks. And it does. It feels different than Traveler does. So my day gamers, there are three of us. We play Tuesday afternoons, like at noon. Our first session took place in the court of Drenax in the aftermath of an explosion. The players were there. It was kind of a great big soiree networking kind of event that the king was having. And then this explosion occurs. What I like to try to do in first sessions, especially where the players have not played before together, even if they're strong players, you could get a weird space where folks are kind of awkward about how to proceed and what to do. And so I will usually drive that first session with one or two events that can't be ignored. In this case, it was the explosion. And then off the relationship map, I pulled each of their closest relationships, made them also there in the room, and brought some of the heavy stuff that they've laid out that they were interested in to bear. So for our pilot, he shows up with Lady Sophia from Aslan. She saved his ass several times, so he kind of owes her. She's calling in a favor. The engineer/bodyguard player, Calum, he's on a job protecting someone. So my first question to him after this explosion is, who's your client and are they okay? Were they the target of this explosion? And we played through that. Rada, who is kind of a celebrity talker type character, close to folks in the court and the king. My question to her as a character is, where is she in this explosion? Does she have eyes on King Oleg? And what does she think about this explosion since she's close to the politics? And then we play from there. They're on the train. It's moving. They have to make decisions. And out of those decisions, I'll roll those into session two. And then we'll keep moving until they have control of where they're going as players and I can stop pushing. That went fantastic for the 2 hours of play that we had. It ended with a prison break in the floating palace. We found the person responsible for the bombing. There is some insinuations about who is profiting from this explosion in the court. Enough to roll into session two with, so I'm looking forward to that. I also got two games of The One Ring in on Twitch. We moved from bi-weekly to every week. So there, the fellowship, a human, a dwarf, and an elf, they tracked Gorlink, the sorcerer, into the Cold Fells to a barrel mound. And they found Gorlink's camp being squatted on by orcs and a warg. No men, no sign of Gorlink. They drove those orcs off with a troll, and they end up going into the barrow tomb. Clues kind of lead them in that direction. And they face off with a white. The white is super interested in a little round kind of rock that the dwarf has hidden away from the rest of the party. They barely escape the white. They freed one of Gorlok's followers, who later on stole Nibbles, Daphne's horse, and rode off. They were about to break camp and head back to Rivendell when the elf player decided he could not, in good conscience, leave that site knowing that there might be other men trapped in that tomb. They have to go rescue or at least make sure there are no other lives still in that tomb. And that was a surprise, right? So that's the left turn. And so our next session, we're going back into the tomb. They've buried the thing that shall not be named. But they know it attracts the white. But the plan is to go back into the tomb and see how many folks we can rescue and avoid the white that is in the tomb. So that is fantastic. We're playing every Thursday night on Twitch. The One Ring mechanics, second edition, it's pretty close to the Cubicle 7 stuff. We're coming up on Treasure Hordes, and I'll do a post about this. I think of all the games I've played where looting or there's treasure involved, I think what's in the Treasure Horde, those mechanics, those rules are best out of the One Ring. And in short, the players ultimately kind of pick and choose what is in the horde, so it's relevant to their character. I like this meta mechanic where the player determines what their character finds that's in the horde. And I guess that plays into the idea that Frodo was meant to find the ring, right? And then that mechanic is here in that if I find this magic whatever thing, my character was meant to find that thing or was meant to have it. It was predetermined. So that is fantastic. I like those rules there. For both Pirates of Drenax and The One Ring, I'm digging into the Foundry VTT. I've got a lot of headway in there now that I'm figuring out the code base. It's all HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So if you were wondering, and I'll talk some more about that too, if you know those three, you can jump into Foundry and do some amazing things. So I'm working on getting it serviceable for those two games. I'm already using it out the box for playing Lancer with my kid. And that's funny because we're sitting at the kitchen bar, two laptops, face to face playing Lancer. So it's but it's fantastic. So I like it. I've been playing some Harry Potter, I don't know what we call them these days, living card games, collectible card games, the Harry Potter Hogwarts battle game. We've been playing the co-op version and the competitive version. Co-op version kind of teaches you how to play in a legacy styled way. They're like eight decks sealed in the box, and we're on deck three of the eight, and they build on top of each other. So it's been fun. A trip through my friendly local game store, there's like four or five expansions for the co-op game. So we also got some time to play the competitive version. It uses a lot of the same mechanics of the co-op version where you compete against each other. I'm not up on the Harry Potter lore, but as I roll the pieces out and the decks and the battle mats and things like that, my lady friend got super excited because she was recognizing things from the movies, from the books. We'll need another run at the competitive version. I think I got some of the rules wrong, but it was fun overall. And so those are the two games that we've been playing on date nights. She's also talked about playing some Burning Wheel, and I'm like, she's a game adjacent. You don't have to do that for me. There's a bunch of other stuff we can play. But our last date out, she laid out to me, without any prompting, the premise for what she wants to play in Burning Wheel. It's kind of a Lion King setup where she's an elf and she's protecting an elven prince from his uncle. I think they're on some part of a long forgotten, underprotected elven expanse of land that's now being encroached upon by humans. And some of her uncle's people have ventured out this far, and they're problematic, right? Because the whole point is the prince should be dead. So she's laid most of that out. I think the next time we get together, I'll see if she's serious about some Burning Wheel. that could be a podcast. I don't even know. So I'm excited to see where that goes, but I haven't been pushing it. She's been driving that conversation. What else? I've been reading Superman in the Authority. Number two is out and I consumed it. It was less than number one, but it was mostly the team assembling montage, which was pretty good, right? Who's on the Superman Authority team. So I get it. And I still have questions like, what is Superman up to? And so he's been doing some very un-Superman-like things to his partner, Manchester Black, to keep him compliant. I'm intrigued. I have no idea what's happening there. The other part that's intriguing is Superman is, in at least in this run, is losing his powers, right? He's still impressive, but it's worrying him. You can see it in the comic. And yeah, he's losing levels of strength, ability, flight, all those things. And I don't know if that's something that's been going on in the DC universe. That's not a place I spend a lot of time, but I'm intrigued. I want to know what's going on there. That leads me into Champions Now and Lifted. I've been porting over some. Well, let me back up. I used to run a hack of X-Force out of Apocalypse World, and I called it The Exorcist, right? They were X-Men more concerned with problems out of Limbo and finding the Books of Destiny. And I used Burned Over Apocalypse World to run those games. So I've grabbed those characters because I like that feel. I like those games. And I'm making pre-gens for my Lifted universe inspired off of those characters because I'm not trying to get sued by Disney. So I ran some playtesting with the initial crew of Exorcists, and that went pretty good. I picked up a new artist who will illuminate those seven Exorcist characters, so I'm excited about that. And those will also make it in the Lifted zine. So that's happening. That's pretty cool. Wrapping up, I think, the last two teams of Champions games. And I'm hoping to get a big, crisis-like event or big crossover event of the different teams, or at least some representatives of the different groups for one or two or three sessions to kind of wrap up the whole Lifted gaming sessions. So we'll see how that goes. The new Kill Team is out. I picked up the new rules to check that out. My son and I play Kill Team, mostly the narrative version, instead of match play. So we kind of have a story kind of happening with his Tau. He plays the Tau, and I will run other different armies as he goes on missions. Kill Team fits in that nice space between legacy board game and RPG for me. The lore is cool. We like assembling kill teams, theming them, getting them on the table, building them up with experience during play. So it's kind of like a light RPG with some carryover between missions, between games, things like that. So it's fun. The games, you can run a kill team mission 30 minutes, 45 minutes. It's nice. It's fast. It's easy. But it looks like the new version is kind of a standalone brand new thing rather than a stripped down hack of 40K. And so that'll be interesting. I want to see what the feedback from the fans are about that. I haven't broken into it yet to read through it, but I feel a kind of way about it, right? The old Kill Team, because it was stripped down, it ran fast. And my fear now is if we make it standalone, its own thing, will it still play fast? And I don't know yet. So I have it. I'm going to read through that. I'm going to check it out, see what we got going on in there. I also got in my Desert Moon of Karth zine, and it's fantastic. It's for Mothership. I'm looking forward to digging into that. I ran Mothership on Twitch some moons ago, and man, I gotta say, I don't like percentile dice systems like I don't like Okra, but Mothership is the bee's knees in what it does, and I don't even care that it's percentile dice. It does a great job at mechanizing fear, panic, horror that resonates with the players, right? You know when you're in the death spiral because the mechanics, you can see them coming, right? You don't have to pretend, or it's not color, and it's fantastic. So I'll be running that for Rich Rogers' second annual Star Wars Minicon. I believe that's in December. That gives me plenty of time to build it up in Foundry, VTT. And I think they have a package for Mothership in there already, so I may not have to go too far. But that's my plan for that. And maybe some one-off games on the weekend for my Patreons. I posted last week a little bit about Debt Punk, and I'm juggling some basic moves. I'm still working through my first draft of three playbooks or debt books for Debt Punk. I think I'm exploring the idea of humanity, Earthlings, barely passing its first great filter. And I think it came at the cost of the Earth being made unlivable, toxic by impacts, cosmic impacts, asteroids, comets, big rocks. I'm not sure what yet. But whatever it was, I think it's impact related. Because that's a problem we have in the real world today. Can we see these asteroids, these chunks of rocks, before it's too late, right? And can we divert them? Can we move them? Can we do something about it? And my feel is today, I don't know. This is not my wheelhouse of skill. But my understanding thus far is we can't. We can't do a whole lot. If we get a sizable rock that we know about, or the ones that we don't see coming, there's not a whole lot we can do yet. So that's what I'm running with, that happens, right? I think maybe there's enough time that humanity was forced to the stars, not under ideal conditions, but mother of necessity, we gotta go, right? I think maybe we get some settling on the moon, Mars, and then we find this strange alien colossal artifact out on the edges of the solar system as we're gathering, looking for new resources, stuff that we can't get on Earth because we can't go down to the Earth anymore. It's toxic. And in that environment, right, where these dangerous, strange jobs are folks who are in debt, and they got to work these jobs to pay off the debt. They're extraordinary debt. So yeah, as I'm working through playbooks, what's funny is how some of the questions come up, like, what are we playing to find out? And then that leads to, well, what does that say about the setting? What does that say about the environment we're in? And so that's been fun. This week, I also learned that Lupin the Third will be an RPG by Magnetic Press. These are the folks that do Carbon Gray, which I'm familiar with through the comics, and I backed that. They're using the Westin Games D6 system, or a rebooted version of that. So it feels like maybe Westin Games, or at least their mechanics, are making a comeback. I also learned that old Palladium Fantasy RPG, that's still a pretty hot game if you got the right people at the table. So that's my week. Let me know what you got going on, what you're playing, what you're prepping, what you're reading. You can reach me at MadJZero on Twitter, or shoot me an email, madj@dixology.com. That's my show. Thanks for listening. Send your comments, questions about this episode to me. I'm on Patreon at MadJZero, all letters, or send it to Twitter at GoDixology. And you know, subscribe, rate, and like. Let's make this our regular thing.